We have the pleasure tonight of hearing the testimony of the Wettstein family sharing the journey that they've been on kind of these last couple years, especially with their daughter McKenna and her kind of road with dyslexia, and just sharing kind of the road that that's been. And I just first want to thank them for being vulnerable, right? Anytime getting up and sharing, whether it's through video or in person, there's a vulnerability with that. But I really believe God's going to use their story to encourage us, especially in the kind of this wrestling of when that big answer to prayer isn't exactly the answer that you get isn't exactly what you were looking for. So we're going to turn our attention to the screens and hear their testimony.
You know, it was one of these things, like, what won't we do to protect your kids? And at the same time, I was like, oh my gosh, are we going to go homeless over this thing? My name is Joel Wettstein, and the multi-site director of worship at Woodbury Lutheran Church. And we started here about 5.5 years ago in Woodbury.
And I'm Jody Wettstein, and I'm glad to be here.
We have three kids. Avery, our oldest daughter, she's now 22. Our son Caden is 20, and McKenna is now 18 and a senior in high school. I think probably tying back to our move when we got here, our youngest daughter McKenna has dyslexia, and we knew it was going to be an important decision to know that she was taken care of. And I think that's probably what started our whole journey. It's been tough to advocate for her and the needs that she has here.
We've known since first grade that she had dyslexia, which is a really young time to be diagnosed, so we felt fortunate. And so upon coming here, like we said, we were proactive. We're like, hey, do you have her? Of course, they said yes. And then our experience was very different. We were under the impression that the school was the expert, and they knew what they were doing, and they were teaching us. And what unfortunately we learned was they aren't the expert. And so it took us a long learning curve of understanding what was really happening.
You know, I think it wasn't until COVID hit and we took the opportunity to take her to some private tutoring. You know, the kids were not in school, and so 2 hours a day for, yeah, what was it? It was like 200 hours of tutoring, and she made some pretty phenomenal growth during that time. And so a couple things, it assured us that she could in fact learn to read. We had been told that she wasn't going to do any better.
The comment was from the school psychologist, maybe this is the best it's ever going to be. And that we got off that call, and I said, that's it. They don't have her. Period. We're done. And then that's when COVID hit and we started the tutoring, and it was amazing to see her, like, she was dreading it because she's like, nothing works, nothing ever works. And then she gets there and she's like skipping in. She knows, you know, and she's like, this is it. This is the thing. Yeah. And
she started reading in family devotions with us where she was always avoiding it. So we knew it was possible that something was working. We got to the start of 10th grade, she was working on trying to learn her driver's ed stuff, and she came to Jody, and again in tears, and she's like, I can't read this. I can't study for my driver's test. And we knew that, you know, it was possible for her to learn. So we went to the school basically and said, we've got a plan. And the idea is that we dismiss her from English class in the morning, that it's probably more important that she learned to read than she tried to read Shakespeare. And then we dismiss her from Global Foods and she can cook here at home. And now with 2 hours in the morning, let's take her to more private tutoring. And
it's necessary.
And basically it was like, that sounds like a great idea. And I was like, awesome. So the law requires free, appropriate public education. And then when we do it, it's not free. And it doesn't seem to be appropriate if it's not done by this private tutor, and it's not multiple choice, so you have to provide both. It's called a FAPE. And it escalated from there that, you know,
the response was inappropriate.
And eventually we ended up getting an education attorney, because after 4 years of trying, it almost became a principle of the matter sort of thing for us. And so we filed a due process hearing, a lawsuit against the school district, which was tough because, I mean, we know a lot of great teachers. I'll never forget, I've never had a lawyer, never ever thought I would. We never thought we'd have a lawyer. We had our first meeting. Even to talk to the lady, you know, we had to put down a pretty substantial amount of money.
Just to have a conversation.
And so it was like, oh my gosh, where is this going to go? We worked at lining up, you know, resources to the best of our ability. And I'll never forget, after the first month of battling this thing, our very first bill, I was standing upstairs. Next to the bed, the bill was sitting on the nightstand, and I opened it, and it was just shy of $18,000 for the first month. You know, it was one of these things, like, what won't we do to protect your kids? And at the same time, I was like, oh my gosh, are we going to go homeless over this thing? In a hearing that's supposed to take 45 days, lasted 361 days, do the math. This table would be covered with hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents, like our Google Drive with hundreds of PDFs and a naming convention so we could find stuff as we were preparing our research, and just like all sorts of stuff. I've read hundreds of pages of National Reading Panel. I didn't even know that was a thing. So it was...
Well, a blessing within it.
I mean, yeah, I guess a blessing within it is we learned how to fight together for our family. And it's natural that husbands and wives fight, you know, and figure stuff out. But we were fighting together to defend our daughter. And I got to tell you, that was a blessing I really enjoyed. We learned a ton through the whole thing. So during our hearing, we came to a moment where our lawyer was so fiercely advocating for us, and our judge had basically had enough. And it turned into this battle eventually where the judge asked us demanded under oath that we were going to have to choose between our defender, our lawyer, and our decision maker. And I think of the Hillsong song, "This I Believe," and there's the line, our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. And like, until you have to decide between the one defending you and the one who's making the decision, like, that is a frightful, it is a horrendous place to be. It's not right. And that in and of itself is just this ridiculous injustice. And then I was like, thank God, literally, that we don't have to choose. I mean, it's one and the same. Jesus defends us. God the Father, our judge, like the Trinity, it's all in one, and we are declared innocent. And that was it was a terrifying moment, and at the same time, like, literally, thank God, like, that's not how it is. We don't have to choose.
When we started to see that it started to change, it wasn't even about her anymore, I was like, we're going to get that miracle win. We're going to get it, because this is insanity, and the only way we're going to win is by a miracle of the Lord, because it was that insane. So I'm like, oh, he's just setting us up. He's just going to pull out this
surprise
miracle
victory. Yeah.
And we're going to win.
And we didn't.
And I thought, oh my goodness. But as God worked through us, then that whole thing came up about being content in all things. And right, you can't do this fight and be content because you're discontented. And that's what makes change. But along the way, what I learned, because I kept hearing that in my head, and I kept thinking, I'm not content. I'm not, like, I'm struggling. And then what would happen is we would be around the dinner table with the family explaining the trauma of the day. And we'd have a wonderful time. And I'm like, okay, this is wonderful.
Well, here, give me your hand. Like, McKenna told us that we were her heroes. She loved knowing that we had gone into battle for her. And I got to tell you, as a dad, I would imagine as a mom too, like that was just to have your kids say, you're my hero. And to know that maybe in this case, we've actually kind of showed it, you know, like there's so many times we might feel like failures as parents or whatever, but for her to turn around and recognize that was a gift for me. I don't know.
Yeah. And I realized we didn't win because God said, you're not going to win this battle. Like, stop. I have a different battle for you. And it's all the things that are coming up now. It's the people we're meeting now and the stories we're meeting now and the things that are happening now. And he's like, you're not going to win this battle, which we didn't. But it finally clicked and felt peaceful. Where it's like, oh, there it is. You know, you protected us. We prayed and prayed for protection, our finances, and had already gotten out of control because it was a year long, not 45 days. And I felt like, oh, he was protecting us financially.
From financial ruin, we were protected from that. And there was a member of the church that out of the blue asked if a scholarship would be meaningful to us, you know, for this school. And I was like, you know, it's a really complicated... Yeah, it's just a really complicated sort of story. If you knew someone who had some sort of scholarship for tutoring, that'd be great. And it was like, well, we happen to know somebody, and it's a family within our church that it basically by the time it's done we'll have committed about 18 months worth of tutoring from McKenna. And we've had multiple meetings with representatives now within the state of Minnesota to help work on policy change. We went to an IEP meeting, and on our right was our representative, and the school was using Sande systems, and on our left was Karen Sande, people that had come to show up for us. And so there were these little promises, these little gifts along the way of God's presence through people surrounding us.
So it's that thing where you think you want this big giant ask from God, right? Everyone has their big prayer that they want God to show up for. And it's all the little things that actually he shows up for that end up being the most important thing. And I feel like that's huge for me.
And completely unexpected.
And unexpected.
Like, we thought deliverance was going to look this way, and instead it was here and here with these people showing up and with classes for McKenna. And we didn't even guess that. Like, that was not in the equation of ways God would show up.
I think to add to that was, it was so out of our control and there was so much surrender, but we kept coming back to, we're doing what's right, and God's honoring of that. God's going to know. God knows that. So if we're doing what's right, we kind of just kept going, we're doing what's right. God knows it. God's going to provide, right? You know, like, we're like, God's going to do this.
Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief here, because, another bill came in, and now what are we going to do? Yeah, I reached the end of me. Yeah, the question was, okay, Jesus, what are you going to do with this one? And he's little by little taking care of it, providing in ways we had not expected, like I said. And
I do want to shout out to McKenna for having to show up every day to a school that she knew was lying about her, wasn't there for her. She's very brave, but she did it well. Wasn't easy, but I appreciate that strength in her too. Face it regardless. And I hope that she felt God's presence in that.
And honestly, like, when this is all said and done, like, McKenna's going to be fine. She is incredibly resilient. She is learning. It's still slow going, but she's learning. It's remarkable, but McKenna wants to be a teacher. Like, in spite of everything that she's faced, like you want irony, you know, irony, or you want wrongs made right, like in the face of everything that she's kind of endured. She wants to turn around and be a teacher. And I think she'll be a teacher who sees people.
Sure.
Because she has felt unseen, I think, through this. And I just think that's like ridiculously cool.
We all have a big prayer that we want a miracle win. And it made me recognize that so many of us have that story, whatever it may be. And the best thing I can say is to continue those prayers, because God does do those miracle wins. But even if he doesn't, you'll start to quickly see the small miracles around you.